This is Blethered at the Ballot. I'm Sean McDonald and I am here with Audrey Dempsey, former Labour councillor, suspended on accusations of racism. It's quite the story. It's been quite the week.
Yes, it certainly has. It's quite surreal, to be honest with you, to think that something could be so blown out of proportion and distorted to the extent that it has been. It's quite frightening.
We'll take a look at the entire story and what's happened. I've got a lot of questions. There are things I think that are probably valid concerns that have been raised, maybe through misinterpretation. We'll kind of get to that. First of all, you've got an announcement that you're making with regards to your membership with Labour.
Yeah. Today I will be resigning from Labour. That decision was actually, I'd actually written to the business manager on the 1st of March this year asking for a meeting to discuss my position, because there had been things ongoing within the group that just didn't sit well with me and I wasn't comfortable.
What type of things?
Various different things about, you know, the way decisions were being made, lack of discussion on certain things. The budget was my biggest thing, because the budget for me, see, I went into the council not as a political person, Sean, I went in as a community person, and I resisted the request for me to stand as a councillor for quite some time before I actually submitted and said, right, okay, I'll do it. I told them I had no political background, it was all community background, and they said that's what would be welcomed into the council because we needed more of that. So when I went in, I was totally unfamiliar with the ways of the working, how it all came about and what the processes were. And I continuously asked for support. But I was, your answer when you asked for support was, we'll keep you right, we'll keep you right. And I actually said to the business manager at one stage, I don't want you to keep me right. I want you to educate me so I can keep myself right. Mm. I want to learn my trade, basically. So as that kind of went on, there has been a number of things that has been disturbing. And there was a setback in 2022, just when I was elected. I had put a poverty presentation to the book, to the group, sorry, and two councillors in the group came in and ripped it apart completely, and it was all full of factual information that we, case studies that we had experienced in the charity. So I was taking that into them to let them know this is what's really happening on the ground. So I've lodged a complaint against this man, approached him and asked the business manager and the leadership team to deal with that. It was left to fester for months and months and months. Mm. I developed imposter syndrome because there were certain people that when they speak to you, when they look at you in the corridor or things like that, you know, and this has just escalated over the past 2 years.
So we've now reached a point then, so the suspension has come around off the back of what you told BBC Scotland. It was an honest question, and you felt you've then become subject to character assassination as a result.
Yeah.
So the question that you proposed to ask was to ask the relevant convener if they're aware of the rising racist attacks on white children and teachers in our schools and how they plan to tackle this. God, there's a lot for us to get into and to unpack. My honest opinion, I can see in isolation why that would result in a lot of pushback.
Mm-hmm.
How, and a lot of sort of controversy and even anger. What's the story? Where does that question come from? Because it must have come from somewhere. And how do you feel it's been used against you?
Yeah, well, firstly, what I'll just say on what you said there, it would cause a lot of anger. That kind of, that doesn't sit well with me, because it shouldn't cause a lot of anger. The reality is,
I think it's the way that it's framed, and it's open to interpretation. If it's not followed up with supplementary information, that's why I can see that would be. So in isolation, I think it would bring about an angry response. That's my position on it.
Yeah, no, well, you're right, it has done, but it doesn't sit right with me, the fact that it has done, because it has now became a race thing, which it was never intended to be. It was about equality. This question was put forward after an initial incident happened that made me aware of racist comments and physical attacks on white children and teachers.
Are you able to or willing to go into detail about it to give it sort of further context? Is there maybe like an emotional tie with that for you as well, or is it impersonal? How does that look to you from your perspective?
Well, to be honest, first and foremost, does a child's been abused, regardless of who that child is. A child has been physically attacked. It was videoed and put around social media. There were really racist remarks made to the child, but this had been going on. These remarks have become normal, apparently, in the corridors of this particular school. And on the back of that, when the school were asked to deal with it, bearing in mind there was a videoed physical attack and there was a gang surrounding this fight, and when the fight broke up, another one jumped in to keep it going. These were African children, and it was one white child, who was being attacked. So the police were involved, and when the police went to the family home of the girl who was the initial attacker in the fight, they were met with similar remarks that this child had been met with, racist remarks to the police. And the police came back to me and said, you know, look, if you're going to, because I had said to them I was going to try and do some kind of campaign to bring this equality measure in for these kids, so that they all turn and look at each other as a human rather than anything else. We're all a human race.
So did you want to implement some sort of educational programme within the school?
Yes, I thought, you know, as I said to the head teacher, even an assembly, if you have an assembly and you have every child in that room and you say to them, look at the person next to you, look at the person behind you, look at the person, each and every single one of you have got a beating heart, and that's all that matters. We are all living, breathing humans with feelings, and we will all be treated equally.
One of the criticisms of the question, the way it was framed, was that it lacked any sort of supplementary statistical information in order to back that up. If you make a claim or an assertion, that you would have to have some sort of evidence. Is there a record of any sort of statistical information that would be, that you could have had, that you could have used?
The question was never asked, Sean. The question never got off the paper, and the way it works at full
time.
But
if you had the question prepared, then I would expect you would have had the information.
Because I would have got my supplementary, but I didn't get a supplementary. See, what happens is you submit your question to your group, right, that you would like to ask at full council. The group then have a meeting about all the questions that all the elected members have submitted, and they pick which ones they want to. So the meeting that question was discussed, that I couldn't attend because I had a different meeting to attend. So the business manager came to me later in the day and he said the group don't want to put the question forward in that way, it's not politically correct enough. He suggested could we remove the word white, or could we insert the word black? And I said to him, look, you're taking this completely out of context if you change it. It's a raw question. And my assumption was, if I asked the chair of education that question, his response would be, we're not aware of any. Then that opened the door for my supplementary question, which would be, well, these are the cases that I have been dealing with recently. And then that would lead me on to, what is the problem with installing equality into schools right here, right now? Because if we do that, kids will eventually adapt to that and learn, and they will look at each other as an equal. That was where that question was going. But the fact that it never got past the Labour group, I thought that was it. I said to him, just bin the question. And I thought it was binned. And then a couple of days later, there it was in the press.
Suspension. If you could go back in time, would you have just submitted the question with, because I have examples of A, B and C? Do you think it would have had the same response?
To be honest, I don't know, because I'm absolutely shocked at the response it's had. I have to say, the public that support that I've had and the people who agree with me that it is a thing, it is an issue and it needs addressed, that's lovely. That's really nice, and I know that there is a lot of like-minded people out there. But in terms of the council, they just don't like difficult questions, it seems.
Have you had a lot of people pushing back or saying that racist incidents should be treated as racist without characterising it as white on black or black on white?
Yes.
I feel there's a validity in that point.
Yes. And do you know, the victims that I have been dealing with, they feel that the question was a valid question, because they also feel that the support they got and the treatment that, you know, the perpetrators got was completely different as to what it would have been had the roles been reversed. So that's part of the issue. When you have victims feeling that, it has to be addressed. They've already suffered. We don't want them suffering, you know, extra emotional feelings that are unnecessary.
So talk me through, when did you submit the question?
I submitted the question. I think it was in March.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And we're now today on the 12th, Friday the 12th of April. Mm-hmm. What was the process, or when did you become aware that it was an issue that had been flagged and that you had been suspended from the party?
Well, it was in the press. The letter appeared in the press. I got an email from a journalist telling me he had received the letter. Somebody from the Labour Party had taken the letter from the meeting, sent it to the press and shared it with the other two parties, the SNP and the Greens. And they all had something to say about it. Did I want to comment? And that was the first I'd heard about it. It was a couple of days later, after that question it came out, there was another story following that apparently I had deleted a video that was kind of being detrimental to asylum seekers. That's not the case.
What was the video in question? Was there a video that was deleted?
Well, they seem to have said there was a video that would, the way I'm reading it, I don't know what video they're talking about. The way I'm reading it is it was a video that was set up to be detrimental to asylum seekers, but that's nonsense.
No further expansion on what the video was, what the material was.
No, that was it. She said that asylum seekers get housed before Scottish people. Something like that was said in the press. The actual conversations I have had on that, I have said to people, when an RSL, for instance, gets their house in stock, they will be asked, like a housing association,
right, okay,
they will be asked to divide their housing stock up. So 60% of their housing stock is kept for homeless cases.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, 30% will be used for mainstream cases and 10% for asylum cases. Mm-hmm. So in discussions at times, which I'm thinking is where they've maybe picked it up and distorted it from, in discussions at times when we have been speaking about the housing crisis, etc., I have said, you know, the fact that 60% of housing associations' stock has to go to homeless, what I am now finding is tenants and constituents who have been tenants for, you know, 20-odd years in a house, they're overcrowded, it's dampness, there's repairs needed, they can't afford the bills, they want to downsize, they want to upsize. None of that is allowed to happen because there's no stock available for them. I said, so what you'll find is the homeless people who have to go through the homeless system will be housed prior to them. And somebody made a comment about asylum, and I said, asylum seekers will be in that category because once they're granted the right to remain, they go into the homeless system.
Right,
so they're getting a house before your mainstream person, but it's because they've went through the homeless system. You know,
it's a misunderstanding of the terminology between asylum seeker and refugee and the status that you have and your rights.
And that was more about how the housing stocks divvied up. It should not be divvied up in that way.
So you believe that's been sort of...
That's been twisted and distorted, yes, 100%.
Have you had any contact with, you know, any senior figures in the Labour Party after the suspension was...
I've not had any contact before or after with the senior figures. The leadership group in the Glasgow Labour group, I have had contact with the business manager and the leader. But in terms of the National Party, I have not heard a word from anyone.
Today, there's been another story that's broken in reporting of tweets that you've liked. Mm-hmm. On the surface, some people might listen to that and think, oh, so what, you know, liking a tweet is harmless. But obviously, if it can be seen to endorse something or so on. I mean, I'll give a wee bit of context and then we'll kind of get what you're thinking. So the tweets that he'd received were from people affiliated to or from, I believe, the Homeland Party. Now, Homeland, he'd been accused of stoking anti-immigration hatred, I suppose they have. There's the Erskine Hotel in Renfrewshire where asylum seekers were being held. One of their representatives was outside kind of whipping up a wee bit of frenzy. So the Daily Record had reported earlier that their nomination officer and their application to become a party was a guy called Anthony Burrows, who comes from the Midlands. His Twitter account was found to have previously posted a tweet which said, "Describe your politics in four people." And he tweeted a picture of Adolf Hitler and the former Ku Klux Klan leader, David Duke.
Oh my goodness.
You know, which is mental. So the tweet said things like, "Those who stand up for the natives are treated disgustingly. It's abhorrent. Homeland parties stand by their candidates and didn't abandon the good people who care about their constituents." There's a lot of chat about native and indigenous and Anisarwar, you know, Anisarwar being reported for an anti-white hate crime. People thanking you for standing up for your constituents in the face of these far-left thugs in power, was it one of them said. Now, if I can understand why there would be, you know, a passionate response to that, because to be honest, and I'll speak very candidly, and I don't want that shit in Glasgow.
No.
Don't want that.
No, not at all.
Don't want that to be anywhere near. So obviously the Daily Record have reported on that. What's your sort of response to that? Is there further context? I would imagine you're not endorsing a party such as that.
100%, absolutely. I had no knowledge of the Homeland Party. Now, I really, my politics goes as far as what I'm dealing with in Glasgow, right? So it's Labour, Tories, SNP and Greens. Mm. That's my focus for politics. Anything further and beyond for that, just it didn't come into my radar. I had no knowledge of the Homeland Party. I'm not a user of Twitter up until the past couple of days because I'm overrun with notifications. And basically what the whole process has been for me, because I have to say it's constant. I have phones going, I've got the charity phone going, I've got emails coming, I've got text messages, WhatsApp. I have journalists constantly hounding me from morning to night every single day, and it is exhausting. And you're also constantly watching the media to see what else has been made up about you, right? So the whole thing, I get a notification, Twitter comment, I've basically been going on, paying no heed to who, what, when, where, or why, just what they're saying. And if they're saying they support, I'm liking it, shutting the notification and getting on with the other things I'm doing. I can totally see how people would be questioning me liking that. My naivety is in full play here. I have to be, and I say that with my hand in my heart. And a lot of people say, oh, she's in politics, how can she be naive? Because I'm not a politician. I'm a community person, and I'm all about the community. Now, I do not support far-right people. I have actually been referred to being far-right people and being a member of the BNP, BPN? BNP,
the BNP.
The BNP by the two leaders of the SNP and the Greens. And I'm absolutely disgusted at the fact that they would put me in the same sentence of these things. So, no, if I had full knowledge of what this Homeland Party, if I had any knowledge of what this Homeland Party stood for, I wouldn't have liked to tweet. No, for me, it was just another bit of support. Somebody was supporting me, and that was it.
I think looking in isolation, the one about Anisarwar being anti-white and that type of thing, and standing in the face of far left thugs.
I didn't even know I had liked that.
I mean, I have to. I know you're having a hard week, but I have to kind of push as well. I know there's naivety on your part, which I think is fair enough to admit, but I feel that you need to be. I'm not giving you a proper hard time over something that's already passed, but you need to be on top of that.
I'm coming off Twitter. Totally. I said, I actually emailed a journalist last night and said I would say in future I'd be more vigilant as to who was commenting, but I won't be because I'll just not be on it at all.
Mm-hmm. You'd mentioned SNP and Greens characterising your lumping in with the BNP.
Yeah.
Do you feel that you've become a pawn in a political game?
100%, yeah. 100%. Do you know the most disturbing thing for me, Sean? There is children and attack in the same sentence in that question. Yet nobody's asking about the children. Nobody's asking about the attacks. Nobody's asking about the teachers. They've turned it into a race thing. They've turned it into a hate campaign against me. And the whole concept of what that question was to lead us to about the equality is all gone.
I take your point about it being characterised as a race issue as opposed to a child being attacked, but do you think they would argue that you characterised it initially as a race issue to begin with?
They probably would, but I wouldn't agree with them. It's a shock factor question. It has to have people shocked to catch their attention to say, look, this is an actual thing, but you know, it doesn't have to be a big major thing. We can nip this in the bud now, and it's dead easy. All we do is have the same rules for everybody across the board.
So do you feel that, how do you feel the rules weren't applied? To go back to the attack and the issue that kind of started all of this off, how do you feel that it was dealt with in a way that wasn't equal to how others might have been managed?
Well, a physical assault is a physical assault, right? And when there's video evidence to back it up, then that's a criminal offence. Mm. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, right. if it's open and shut and beyond all reasonable doubt. Yeah.
Yes. So in one situation, there was no charges brought. In another situation, there were six children, I believe,
age are we talking here?
Oh, secondary age.
So, right. I mean, go from 11 to 18, no?
Yes, in the first instance, the child who was attacked was 12 in first year, and the other children were third year. So right, they were a couple of years older. Over in the other case in the south side, I know that one of the children who have been charged has recently turned 16. So there was talk of him going through the adult court system. And the other five going through the children's courts. But what I have been told about that case and how those parents feel that case has been dealt with a bit better is because they actually have a relative who is a police officer, and he is a Muslim man, so he acted on it.
Okay.
And he made sure that it was dealt with in the appropriate way. So there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of frustration amongst professionals who are seeing this and witnessing it. They've not been briefed on how to handle it, basically. And they don't want to handle it in a certain way because they don't want to be accused as a racist. And that is the difficulty that lies there. People are so afraid to speak out. We should not live in a society like that. We should be able to discuss things openly as adults and make it better for these children, because if we can't do it for them, who can?
Mm. Obviously a lot of complexity in that discussion, and one that would require a lot more time and space, and obviously we are sort of constrained in this instance. But I mean, I take your point there. As we're kind of closing off, how do you see your future in the political sphere, so to speak? Where do you go from here after resignation from the Labour Party?
Well, when I resign today, I will stand as an independent for the remaining 3 years of the term. I've no idea how it's going to go from there on in. I have had both positive and negative advice about going independent, but I just feel I cannot be tied to a group who would be willing to throw you to the wolves the way some members in that group have, suspend you without a conversation, without giving you a chance to get your side across, trying to justify yourself or anything at all like that. There's been nothing like that. It has just been slate after slate after slate. And I just think, you know, shame on them for doing it to me once, but shame on me if they get a second chance at it. So I'm here for my constituents, and as an independent councillor, I will do whatever I can for them.
In the interest of balance, I haven't spoken to anybody from Scottish Labour. The floor and platform is open. If anybody from Scottish Labour would like to make comment, I would like to speak to me about it as well. They're obviously, while I'm not at any point sitting across from you telling you that I don't believe you, that you're a liar, there are two sides to each story.
Absolutely.
And I would encourage listeners to also take that into account. So if anybody from Scottish Labour would like to speak, then I'm absolutely open to that. Well, I suppose I'll round off by saying thanks very much for having a chat with me. I understand in the midst of it all, you're still a human being who's going to be going through a bit of a tough time. It's not a nice place to be in the epicenter of that type of storm. I hope that for the best for everybody involved, that, you know, across the kids involved, for you and for everybody else, that this can kind of be resolved and put to bed.
Thanks very much for having me. I think trying to kind of just stay quiet in the background in the hope that it fizzles out, but it's no gonna. These people have a vendetta and they're going to keep this going for as long as they can, so it's, you've no other option than to fight back to save your good name, basically.
Well, Audrey, thank you very much, and wishing you the best.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you for listening, and we'll be back with another episode of Blethered at the Ballot with Amy Callaghan, MP from the SNP, which we'll be recording at the House of Commons or nearby. Stay tuned.